Hey everybody, this is Life Talks with Scott. We are going to continue our discussion on the fivefold. So if you're listening today, you need to make sure to go and listen to the introduction on the fivefold ministry gifts, because we talked about a lot of stuff, kind of laid a good foundation there. It was long. Yeah, I know, a little long, but it's going to be worth it for you to understand the rest of what we talk about. Fivefold ministry gifts, the ascension gifts. Remember, these are not the same as spiritual gifts. These are actually aspects of Christ that he imparts to individuals who then become the gift, that they then are able to impart that same grace, remember grace gift, that same grace to others, to the church, for the equipping, the building, the maturity, the unity of faith, stability, all those things. And it is through these gifts that God really establishes his government. Okay? That's how God establishes his government. And that is how his government expands in every direction. So when you start to look at it this way, you start to realize that God, that God has designed it so that there literally is not one person who does everything, right? God so values you working with others and the unity in the body, and that's why we have that metaphor for the church, the body, okay? Because it's many parts that work together as one, all right? And we have to understand that the reference for the ministry gifts usually is in relation to the metaphor of the body. So Jesus gave the gifts to equip the body, mature the body, fill the body up to the likeness of Jesus. In other words, if these ministry gifts are not in operation, then the body is not going to be maturely built into the likeness or the image of Christ. That's the whole purpose of these gifts. The whole purpose of these gifts, these individuals, are to build the church up into the image of Christ. All right, and that's what we need to understand. If they're not in operation, then there's a serious problem, and we're going to be lacking. We're going to have a deficit in the way that we display and manifest Christ. Right? Does that make sense? So the fivefold gifts equip the body, right? The body more into the image of Christ, so they can do the work of ministry, so they can be mature. Okay? But it is a team aspect. You know, a lot of people say, oh my gosh, the apostles. Apostles are very important, you know, and we'll talk about them. At some level, they are there as the blueprint master builders of the church that God uses. Okay, well, and we'll talk about this later. But and they have a unique role in that they are able to usually birth the giftings in other people and the unique giftings in other people. And they're usually able to orchestrate and kind of administrate those gifts in the body. But the thing is a lot of people say, oh my gosh, they're the greatest of all gifts. But it's even though the Lord has placed them as the head with the prophets, you have to understand that Jesus also said, you know, don't lord your authority over people like Gentiles do and say, well, I'm over you, okay? But what does he says? He says you serve, okay? And so we don't look at these as status symbols or, like I said, a position in a hierarchy model. You're not the top of some pyramid structure. Just because you have 10 churches under you doesn't make you an apostle, okay? Who establishes whether you have the gift of an apostle or not? Jesus Christ. Remember, he is the one who divvies up and gives out the gifts. And not only that, but there's a difference between someone who is apostolic and someone who is an apostle, right? Same thing. There's a difference between a prophet and someone who is prophetic, okay? The fivefold ministry gifts, they're not as common, okay, as the spiritual gifts. They're not as common as the spiritual gifts. But when someone who is an apostle comes into the house and they impart that gift, their life, to the church, okay, then all of a sudden individuals who receive that grace in the church, they now become apostolic, right? Because that gift is imparted into them. They're not an apostle, but they become apostolic. Same with the prophet. Prophet comes, teaches, equips the body, and then the body becomes prophetic. Okay, they don't. Each person doesn't become a prophet in the that to that degree, but they become prophetic. So Jesus uses these gifts to equip his body. But again, there's plurality here. Okay, we would say some people might have the belief that, well, if the apostles and the prophets were in place, everything else would be fine. Okay, I'm not going to say that that's completely false or it's completely true, because you can have apostles and prophets, and you can be lacking pastors and teachers, and your church was not going to reflect accurately the image of Christ. Okay, it just won't. Your church will not reflect the image of Christ very accurately if you do not have all five. So each one is vitally important. No one is greater than the other in terms of the giftings, although there is an authority from God that is given uniquely to the apostles and as well as to the prophets in terms of really determining the governing of the body, if I could say that. So there's a lot of history behind these gifts, and in reality, there's a lot of controversy as well. But you can actually see a pattern emerge, especially the book of Acts. The book of Acts is great because it kind of shows how these gifts work together. And you have to realize that the original disciples, apostles, the early church, they didn't have New Testament scripture to help them understand these things. But as they interacted with Christ, as they had intimacy with Jesus, and as they sought to know him, Jesus Christ revealed these truths to the early church, who then wrote them down for our benefit, right? They wrote them down for our benefit. And so I think for anyone, there should be this hunger and thirst to become more Christ-like. That should be our ultimate goal in life, is to be more Christ-like, to be conformed more to the image of the Christ. But the reality is, if you have a fivefold gifting, that responsibility is even greater, right? That responsibility is even greater. It's like I said, it's not, these fivefolds are not just duties or titles or status. It's really how an individual is and how they function as a person. And not only that, but God has things that he wants to accomplish on the earth, and he imparts that gift, whatever that gift may be, to an individual, and they receive the grace to fulfill what he wants to accomplish, right? So if it's Paul, then God gave him the grace to be an apostle to the Gentiles, right? Peter, an apostle to the Jews, okay? We'll talk about it here in a minute, but James, not the original apostle James, but the half-brother of Jesus, James, was really the apostle to the overall church, and we'll see that here in a minute. So you see that there is this interaction in the New Testament church, the early church, that it's not about, I'm in charge, I'm the leader. It's more about we're all coming together, acknowledging one another's giftings and authority, which are giving at different degrees. We have to understand that these gifts are given at different degrees and measures. So Ephesians 4, verse 7. Okay, here's what it says. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Right? So Christ measures out gifts. He measures out these gifts, these unique gifts, and gives them to individual. And there are different degrees. Okay, there are degrees of apostles, and we're about to see that. And when we go to Acts 15, we're going to see that there are different degrees of apostles. There are different levels of authority. There are different spheres. Same with teachers, pastors, prophets. Okay, all of those. There are different measures of the gift that are given out. Okay, a lot of times we want we really want like a clear definition of, I want to know exactly what this gift, you know, what it looks like and how it functions. But the Lord doesn't work that way. He doesn't, okay? Because each person who receives the gift, who becomes that gift, is a unique individual. And God displays himself through the lives of that unique individual. So you'll have apostles who are maybe apostolic, but then maybe they're evangelistically bent. They're very evangelistic as well. Or you'll have apostles who are very prophetic. You'll have apostles who are very pastoral, who have teaching gifts. And then you'll have apostles who are just straight up just apostolic, okay? And we'll talk about that later, but we have to understand that there's different measures of the gift and there's different expressions of it. There's no clear cookie cutter formula for what an apostle, what a prophet, what a teacher, evangelist, a pastor looks like. You know, we've talked about this a little bit, you know, with some friends and we've talked about the history of titles in the American church. In other words, we now call everyone a pastor who is in the ministry position. And I understand, you know, it's a term of respect and things like that, but it's also kind of it kind of muddies the water. And what do I mean by that? Well, when you call everyone a pastor, then you think that everyone should operate on the same way. And if you're a leader of a church and you're a pastor, well, what about the apostle? The apostle's not a pastor, okay? And so the problem with that is when you put a title on someone, then you expect someone to fulfill that title, right? So if you call me Pastor Scott, then you are going to expect me to fulfill the responsibilities of a pastor. So if we look at the Bible or we look at what a pastor is, as Jesus describes the shepherds, okay, then you're going to expect me to do that. For those of you who really know me, then you realize, well, Scott really doesn't have a pastoral bone in his body, okay? And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not proud of that. That's not, you know, a trophy I'm holding up. It's an area where I'm growing in. But if you call me a pastor, then you are going to expect me to operate that way. But if you just call me Scott, and I'm big on this, like I'm sorry. It's not a false humility thing. I just feel free to call me by my name. Because if you call me by my name, then you learn who I am. And when you learn who I am and you learn how I function, then you realize that you're not going to search out for me based off of my title. You're going to search out for me based off of the gifts that I actually carry and am. Same with John West. For those of you in Christian Center who know John West, then you understand that John is a prophet. We don't call him Prophet John. We don't call him Pastor John. But when we have certain things that the prophetic is equipped to handle, we go to John because we know John based on his gifting, okay, and his function. Titles can distract from that, and we can look to someone based off of their title instead of how they actually operate. So look at Pastor Tim, okay? Again, we call him pastor, but really he's apostolic, he's apostle, he's probably prophetic. And so if we go to him looking for just pastoral needs, we're actually missing out on the real gift that he carries, okay? And I don't want to get into all that right now, but that's the kind of the problem with calling everyone a pastor, okay? And so what I prefer is that we just call people by their names, right? And then we allow their functioning and gifting to be what we actually go to them for. And when you call someone by their name, then you'll understand their gifting and functioning instead of their title. But anyway, so these people, the fivefold gifts operate based off of a team. There's, like I said, there's not one man who's in charge, but it's a plurality of leaders who are, as they come together and impart who they are to the church, then the full image of Christ can start to be formed and built. Right, and a lot of people, we'll talk about this real briefly because I want to get on to some authority and examples of what that looks like for apostles and other functions of gifts. But a lot of people in the Bible, in the church, think that these gifts have ceased, at least the apostle and prophet. They think the apostle and prophet has ceased, right? But the reality is that Ephesians 4 says that these gifts are going to endure, right? It says at verse 13, until, okay, so these gifts are going to equip the saints, build the saints, build the body, until we all attain to the unity of faith, the full knowledge of the Son of God, mature manhood, the full measure, the stature of Christ, right? So can we say that the church right now is walking in the fullness of Christ, the full measure of stature in Christ? We cannot. That is why these gifts are still in operation. Okay, the full image of Christ is not being manifested in the church. And I think that's important for us to know. So these gifts are still in operation. Okay, they're still going strong. And not only that, they're ascension gifts. So what does that mean? That means Christ, we talked about this last podcast, Christ gave these gifts after he ascended. So in other words, these gifts were given when he went to the Father. They weren't given beforehand. They were given when he went to the Father. When he ascended, they were given. And the reason is they were given, they're imparted to individuals. And through those individuals, Christ can still live, move, and interact with his church. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, same with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he said, you know, it's better for you that I go. If I don't go, I can't send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Well, here, he's going back to the Father, and as he ascends, he sends himself back through these gifts so that he can interact with the church, build and equip the church, and the church can accurately reflect the image of Christ. It's all about conforming to the image of Christ, being mature in him. Don't get distracted by petty things, by things that want to that are enticing, and you say, "Oh man, it's all about the Christ. It's all about becoming like him. It's all about knowing him. It's all about being sanctified by him, more into his image. It's all about reflecting him. It's about him." A lot of times as Christians, we can get so overwhelmed with all the Christian responsibilities we have. Are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we reading our Bible? Are we, you know, solitude, silence, whatever, fill in the blank. Really, are you pursuing him to know him and become like him? It really is that simple. And through that, he can fulfill all his desires and needs through you. He can change the world through you. So if you have anxiety or stress sometimes because you feel like I'm not being a good Christian, just come to know him, chase him, pursue him, allow that fire and desire to be like him and know him to consume you, and you'll be okay. All right, rabbit trail, but important rabbit trail. So these giftings work together in a plurality, and each one, as they come together, they reflect the full image of Christ to his church. Right, so you say, well, you know, how do they work together? Because here in American church, we are big on I'm in charge. I'm the leader of this hierarchy. Not all churches, right? Not all churches, but there are. There are. Let's just say that. Okay, and so there are churches that operate that way. So, what does that mean? That means that's not we read the scripture and we see that's not the way it worked. Right, that is actually absolutely not the way it worked. The way it works is that these teams work together. So, for example, let's take Philip. Right, in Acts chapter 8, Philip, because of the death of Stephen and persecution, he went to Samaria. Right, and all of a sudden, he's the only one in the Bible referred to as an evangelist. By the way, Philip, the only one in the Bible referred to as an evangelist. So he began preaching Jesus, and revival breaks out in the city where he was, right? Breaks out in the city. Go read Acts chapter 8. And people were turning to Jesus by, you know, whatever, hundreds, the thousands. It says multitudes, excuse me. But soon, okay, Philip is sitting there, the evangelist, right? Not evangelist Philip. I think it's important to know it's not evangelist Philip. It was Philip the evangelist. Remember, it's not a title, but it described his function as the ministry, as he was doing his ministry, right? And he's seeing this multitude turn to Christ. What happens? It says that the apostles in Jerusalem heard what was happening, that people were receiving the Lord, and it says the leaders sent Peter and John to give further leadership, to further instruction, and send them to Samaria to help Philip, right? So imagine this. If this was America today, you have someone who goes out, right, goes out to preach Jesus. All of a sudden, multitudes are coming and being saved. And then the group that you were a part of says, we're going to send two leaders to kind of help you and oversee what you're doing and better establish what you're doing. You think how many people would be, I don't need you. I'm doing this. I'm the Lord's chosen. The Lord is touching me right now. Okay? But that wasn't what happened. Okay? In fact, Peter and John went to help further establish it. They went there. I don't have that chapter in front of me right now, but I believe they went there and they laid hands on the individuals and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I think it's important for us to know the apostles lay foundations. Okay, they lay foundations and they help establish new believers. So the evangelist gets them into the kingdom, teaches them very briefly about their need for Jesus, but the apostles come in and they lay that foundation and they establish them as strong, mature believers. Now remember, they need the other gifts as well imparted into their lives, the grace of those gifts imparted to their lives. But apostles help establish. And so Philip didn't, it didn't say that Philip freaked out and ran away and did his own ministry or kicked out Peter and John, but he embraced them and he understood that this is a team effort. It's not about me. It's not about my ministry. You know, unfortunately, the mindset in the American church, very individualistic mindset, is this is me and my ministry. This is my ministry. I built this ministry. Well, that right there shows you that the person is not of the right heart, because Jesus says, I will build my church, right? He says that to Peter, I will build my church. And we need to understand that it's not our ministry. It's the ministry of the Lord that he has asked us to be stewards of. So if we become possessive, then we're immediately in the wrong heart, okay? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about his church. And people with a true fivefold gifting understand that. And what happens, hopefully they understand that, and what happens is they realize it's all for the good of the church, for the body, right? Now, there are some issues with each gift that we'll talk about later. Pastors can kind of maybe become possessive. You know, apostles can become, you know, kind of authoritarians, you know. Anyway, we'll talk about those later. But we need to understand that this is a team effort, as you see. Philip brought them in, and then they sent Peter and John to help establish it. And then you get to like a really interesting scenario in Acts 15. You know, this is where the problem with the circumcision comes. It says that, you know, while Paul and them were in Antioch, some people came from Jerusalem and started teaching that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised. Well, Paul, Barnabas, it created a debate, right? So this is Paul, after doing a missionary journey, after having an encounter with the Lord. Paul, who wrote a large portion of the New Testament and was very theologically sound, he could have easily said, well, no, you don't need to be circumcised, and that's that. But he didn't do that, right? Because he understood his gift, he understood his authority. And so it says that Paul and Barnabas went to see the apostles, the elders in Jerusalem, right? Paul, who could have easily figured this out, who already knew the answer, but he submitted himself to the apostles in Jerusalem, okay? And it says they sent a team to Jerusalem. Now, when they're in Jerusalem, you hear Paul talking about his experience with the Gentiles coming to Christ. Then Peter stands up and gives a report and explanation about his experience with the Gentiles coming to Christ that supports Paul even more, okay? So Paul is submitting to Peter and the apostles in Jerusalem, and then Peter gives his report, and then all of a sudden James, not the original apostle James, but James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, stands up and says, you know, this is in fulfillment of this specific prophecy. So he stands up, has all authority, people defer to him, even Peter and Paul defer to James, who appears in all aspects of this chapter to be the overall leader, and he gives the ruling, says this is in fulfillment of what the prophets have said. Not only that, but then he gives practical application and instructions for the Gentiles. You know, don't eat things, don't eat blood, you know, or things like that, abstain from sexual immorality. So not only does he say, this is what I see, this is how it lines up with Scripture, and this, but then he gives the ruling and says, so tell them, you know, tell them that as Gentiles they should just follow these laws. And then he sends a team out to kind of confirm that. He wasn't part of the original 12. Okay, Peter was. So here you see Peter actually deferring to James. Why? Because it's not about who's at the top. It's not about, well, I was Jesus' favorite apostle. It's who's the one that's carrying the gift and the authority for what we need right now, right? Paul goes to the apostles, Paul defers, Peter tells his story, and James rules. And so you really see the beauty of it, because any one of those three that we just named, we would say, well, they had the authority to establish that ruling. Apparently they didn't, and they realized it. Okay, and that's what we need to do. There needs to be humility that comes with these gifts, as we don't look at other people with giftings as, oh, they're my competitor. No, they're your co-laborer. You need to be championing these people on. You know, if you're a prophet and you see another prophet who is, you know, I don't know, at an international level, you need to be championing them on. Trust me, there is enough work in the body of Christ for everyone with a gift to have a role and a function and a purpose. You're not going to get worked out of a job, right? You're not going to get worked out of your function or your gifting. The Lord will give the gift as it is needed, okay? And I think that's something that we really need to establish about these gifts. They operate in teams, very humble, and it's all about submitting to the one who is carrying the authority, who is carrying the gift for that situation. Okay, because there are different levels, different measures of the gift, different measures of authority. And we see that very clear in Acts chapter 15. The problem is we don't like to maybe admit in America and maybe Western society, we're very competitive in the United States. So there's this thing where it's like, I want to be the best. I want to be on top. I want to be this. And we don't, it's a very humble thing to say, this person is more gifted or more anointed or has more authority than me in this area. All right, but when we can learn to do that, then we're finally learning how to operate in unity as a body. We're not competing against one another. We're actually working together. So, again, really long podcast today, but I hope you're enjoying it. I love this topic. So I could literally get on here and just talk for hours and hours and hours about this. So I'm having a hard time keeping it short. So I'm not going to apologize anymore. They're just going to be long. But that being said, that's all we're going to talk about today. We'll pick it up tomorrow, probably start talking about the actual roles and functions of an apostle, okay, and at least how the Bible portrays them, describes them, and all these different things. And then we'll talk about even some controversies with that gift as far as what some church denominations believe, okay? So it'll be really important for laying that foundation. But that's it, guys. Have a blessed day, and see you soon. Thank you.